He always refreshes us and reminds us who he is and how much he loves us. And that we are his little lambs. But he also wants us to know that we're his soldiers also. We're in his army. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and he knew what was lying ahead of him and what he was going to have to suffer, even separation from the Father. And he prayed, "Father, if you could take this cup from me, I'd like that. There'd be another way." But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will." He understood that it was only his blood, because he was a perfect sacrifice. It was only his blood that could cover over our sins. He had to go, didn't he? Out of his love and out of the joy that was set before him, which was all of us who would come to him, who would believe and trust and give our lives back to him. He bought us with that precious blood, that precious price. And when he showed me the sin in my life and that he had paid for all of it, it was just so hard to believe that he could forgive me. All of you know me now today, and you know, and you think, "Oh, she probably didn't sin much." But any sin will put Jesus on the cross. And I have more than one. I was more like, I was more like Mary Magdalene. And when I read the scripture about how she knelt at his feet and washed them with her tears and then dried them with her hair, that was me. The scriptures just leapt out at me. So as I sang the Lamb of God and how he died for me, it just brought back all those memories. And I'm humbled, but I am so glad he loved me enough to die for me, and I'm so glad I'm safe. Safe eternally because of my precious Savior. I love him with all my heart, and sometimes I grow weak and weary and don't feel close to him, but then when I draw close to him, he's there. He's always there. He's been there all along. And just as Jesus went to that garden, he knew where to go, didn't he? He asked the disciples to be with him, and he was probably hoping they would be in prayer also. But he knelt and he prayed. I put a picture in our bulletin of Jesus praying, and they often show him at a big boulder with a tree behind him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew where to go. And all of us that are believers, we know where to go, don't we? But do we go there enough? Do we use the power of prayer the way Jesus used it? Constantly, all the time, he was in constant communion, relationship with the Father. And he spoke what the Father gave him to speak. Jesus came to earth for one purpose and one purpose only, didn't he? The scriptures say in Luke 19:10, and that's in your bulletin if you want to read it there, and Kara will get it up, she's got it up on the screen. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He had a goal, didn't he? To seek and then to save. Matthew 6:33. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to all the thousands of people that were there listening, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Sister Lena spoke that out as we were singing, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And I know when I first read that, I thought that means I'm supposed to seek Jesus with all my heart and his righteousness. But Jesus meant more than that, didn't he? He meant for us to come alongside and continue seeking the kingdom of God to seek and save that which were lost. He said, "Go and tell them that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Go and tell them, work for the kingdom's sake." Philippians 2, 14 through 16, let's go there. Paul, what a marvelous evangelist. Paul went seeking the lost, didn't he? Even in prison, it didn't bother him to be in prison because there were people in prison that he could talk to about Jesus. His guards, he could tell all about Jesus. They would say, "Why are you here? What did you do?" And he'd say, "I was talking about Jesus, the Messiah." And they said, "Well, that's no reason to be here in prison." And then he said, "Do you want to know more about Jesus?" And some of those guards were saved, weren't they? Paul had on his mind the kingdom of God. I heard somebody say the other day that the cross is just the beginning of a Christian's life. We go to the cross, don't we? We see Jesus dying in our place. We ask him to forgive us of our sin. And we make him Lord of our lives. We go through baptism, signifying that we've died to self and we've risen in life in him, filled with his Spirit. But that's not the end, that's the beginning. Then we've got a work to do, don't we? We talk about heaven and we sing about that and we long for it and hope for it, and it's there. We do have that hope, and that's something that gives us strength to keep going. But by the Lord's Spirit, he wants us to work in the kingdom, to go into the fields and harvest those lost souls. He wants us to bind Satan and come against the evil that's going on in this world.
Amen.
There's so much that the Lord wants us to do. And beloved, you know what the Lord has shown me here? Our little group here, we feel like we're small, but 35, 36, 40 people, we're an army for the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Look what he did with 12 disciples.
Yes, amen.
Look what he can do with us. We need to be prayer warriors. It's through prayer that things get done. Jesus knew. He went to the Father in prayer. And he did what the Spirit of God, what the Father told him to say and do. And people were raised from the dead. The blind saw. The crippled walked. People were freed from demons that were troubling them. We have a man that walks the streets of University Boulevard. His name is Mike. And he looks like he's dangerous. He looks dangerous. But he is being controlled by spirits of some kind. And he'll be walking along, head down like this, and then suddenly he'll turn around and he'll go the other way, and then he'll go like this, and then he'll go like that. And he's being controlled. But if you shout out the window as you're driving by, "Hey, Mike," he'll stand up straight and look at you and say, "Hi." Now, psychiatrists might call him schizophrenic or that he has multiple personalities. But Jesus would come along and touch him and say, "In, be healed." And in Jesus' name, we can do the same if the Spirit leads us to do it. Now, we don't want to get out of the realm of the spiritual and operate in the flesh with our own reasoning. Let's let the Lord guide us and direct us. Just as Sister Lena, when she was in the doctor's office, the nurse was very upset and worried and uptight, and Lena said, "Let me pray with you." The Spirit moved on her to pray with that woman and bring her out of her darkness into the light.
Amen.
And all of you that are in nursing homes, you know the darkness that's there. You know the depression. You know the sorrow. But you can be prayer warriors that's praying and asking the Lord to lift that depression, to give you boldness and courage to go into rooms where he leads you, or to staff members and ask if you can pray with them. I don't know, but the Spirit of God will lead you if you're willing to let him use you. In the morning when you wake up and you worship and praise the Lord, and then, "Lord, here I am. How do you want to use me today?" I know that he uses some Christians to pray for those that are lost in Russia, China, India. There is nothing that prevents us from praying for people all over the world by his Spirit. It's his Spirit that does the work. You know, when we go through the Old Testament and read all the stories of how God intervened because of prayer, and how all they had to do was worship and praise after they asked the Lord to deliver them and watch the Lord deliver. That wall in Berlin came down through prayer. I remember when Scott Wesley Brown wrote a song about the wall, and he said, "The wall is going to come down." He wrote that years before that wall came down, but he was seeing in the Spirit that God was going to bring that wall down so that people could cross back and forth. There'd be more freedom. Prayer is essential. Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Paul warns the Philippian church, says this: "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." We have to be careful, don't we? Mm-hmm. It is so easy to criticize and complain and find fault and murmur. Whenever I hear that sound, it's like, oh no, somebody's upset. Don't murmur, don't dispute, don't fight with somebody, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Boy, do we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, crooked and perverse world? We do. "Among whom ye shine as lights in the world." I want to shine as a light, don't you? Because it'll show forth the kingdom of God when we do that. But if people hear you murmuring and complaining in the nursing home, they're not going to see the light of God. They're just going to see a person that is dissatisfied, angry, hurt, whatever. But if you take your problem to the Lord and trust him that he can use you in the situation and that he'll take care of things for you as you pray for it, and then thank the Lord for the answer. When you really know who God is, the creator of the universe, and how much he loves us, you know that our Father will take care of it. And then he can use us to be a light to others. Care about the kingdom. Build the kingdom. Build the kingdom. Not just the kingdom in your own heart, but God's kingdom everywhere. He cares about everyone. We've had workers on this church painting and mending and fixing and polishing and vacuuming, and Buck and I and the others that are around them have been in prayer for them, because we can tell whether they really know Jesus as their best friend, their Savior and their Lord, or whether they are still operating in the flesh and under the control of Satan. I was under the control of Satan before I became a born-again Christian. All of us were. So Paul is saying, let's be lights in this dark world, holding forth the word of life. Jesus is that word, and we need to hold him forth. Hold him forth to your CNAs. Hold him forth to your nurses. Hold him forth to your family. Hold Jesus forth to all those that you know and are able to touch, and all those that the Lord puts on your heart. There's a church in Ocala that we have visited, I don't know, 4 or 5 times, and we love them. They love the Lord, and every Wednesday night they get together and they print out beforehand a list of all the things that need to be prayed for. And they come together and spend their time in prayer. And that's certainly one way to do it. And we put some on our bulletin so that when you take your bulletin home, you can see specific needs. But the Spirit of God will also put things on your heart. And those are the things, as you lift them to the Lord, He will take care of. He will minister in those ways. Holding forth the word of life. And then Paul writes to the Philippians. He's writing from prison. And he says this: I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for you, talking about the Philippians, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. We need to be careful that we're not spending all of our time seeking our own way, what we want, to make ourselves comfortable or whatever it might be. But seek the things that belong to Jesus. Seek his kingdom. That's part of carrying our cross, isn't it? Being willing to lay down our lives for others. We have brothers and sisters in Syria, in Jordan, in Iraq, in Iran, in Russia, in China, in India, Pakistan, that are truly being persecuted, jailed, killed. And we can be in prayer for them. They have been concerned about the things that belong to Jesus. There, I've read stories from the, what's that ministry, about the martyrs? But at any rate, they talk about, don't feel sorry for us. The Lord gives us the strength to go right to the end of our lives, if so be. Just pray for us, that our faith will remain strong. And they are praying for us that we won't let worldly things lead us away, take us away from the Lord, but that we will be mighty warriors for the faith, that we will consider and care about the Lord's work. And on the back wall, I don't know, we haven't talked about the missionaries much, but on our back wall we have pictures from some of the missionaries that we are behind, and we send offerings every month to the Pate Ministries. And this couple left their work and went to Ecuador, and they are working with children and giving them the gospel message. They're doing a mighty work. Gary Pate, the husband, was here in town for a while, and he called us and said, be sure you tell everybody that we are thankful for their giving.
Wonderful.
And so let's keep them lifted up in prayer that the Lord will draw more children. He said something's been happening lately where more children are coming to their Bible classes. The children are inviting other children from their schools, and they're coming. And we help Ezra International bring the Jews from Russia to Israel. And I'm sure that Ezra International is also telling them that Jesus is their Messiah. I pray that they are. I assume they are. And then you know you're helping Buck and me go into the nursing homes during the week. You'll be helping us go to North Carolina and minister in the homes there. You'll be helping us go to West Virginia and minister in the homes there and at the campground, encouraging and strengthening and bringing in the lost, seeking the lost. And the radio broadcast up there and the internet. This church is broadcasting every Sunday live to what we call Facebook. If you're not familiar with it, it's just something you can do on your phone today. And people can be watching right now, listening to me, hearing you sing, hearing you pray. And it has gone out to 300 or so people in the past. And the internet, Buck puts our services on the internet, and people can get on their computer. And we have had 10,000 people listen to the services. So we are an army for the Lord, and we need to be about the business of the Lord, seeking His kingdom. So be careful when you go out and somebody makes you mad. If it be if you go to a restaurant and a server is nasty, mean to you, or if you go in to buy something at Best Buy and the worker kind of ignores you, just says, "Oh, it's over there." Chris had that experience this past week, and he didn't blow his top. He didn't respond to the man. He didn't huff out of that store and say, "Fine, I'll never come back here again. Keep your stuff." No, he didn't do that. Instead, he prayed, and he began looking around for what he needed, and the Lord sent him a clerk that was kind and helpful and went to extremes. The thing that he wanted was back in the warehouse in a box somewhere. And Chris waited 10 minutes, and the young man came back. Chris could have assumed even that the fella had said, "I hope he just leaves. I'm not gonna come back." But he did, and the Lord really blessed Chris for showing forth the kingdom in his life that day.
Amen.
So, Chris, congratulations for showing forth the kingdom. First Timothy 2:1-4. Paul is writing to a, quote, son in the Lord, and he says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for our president, and for all that are in authority, our police officers, our city council." You can all, you know, you can go through the world, all those that are in power. Have you prayed for Putin's salvation? I don't hear anybody. Avis, congratulations, very good. For kings and for all that are in authority, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Nursing home people, do you pray for your administrator? Do you pray that the nursing home will hire Christians because Christians will be good to you, will take care of you, will care about you. Lenore?
I'm still praying for those 17 children that was here.
Amen.
It's just like it was my own children.
You're praying for the family of those children that were killed at school. Speaking of which, there was a group of Christians in Texas that marched. And their concern was, you know, so many are saying that we need to change the gun laws. We need some want all the guns to be confiscated and none of us have a weapon. Well, that they could do that. That could be something, but that won't stop killing, will it? The only thing that will be a heart change. Our founding fathers understood that we as a nation, we as a people, could rule ourselves as long as we
served
the Lord, as long as we had a heart change, that we weren't following our own flesh and wanting our own way, but that we would serve God with integrity and honesty and love. So they were marching that people would see that Jesus was the answer, and it's true. So we need to pray for our nation, for our world, that more people will come to know the Lord Jesus. He has us everywhere praying and seeking the lost for his kingdom's sake. We are building a kingdom. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's our Savior's goal, is that all will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, that they might have eternal life, that their sins might be forgiven. Are you busy building Jesus' kingdom or your own? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Buck and I have been going into nursing homes, seeking the kingdom from the time, well, for him it's been 26 years, and he can tell you that every single need has been met plus and beyond. So, beloved, don't fear standing up and speaking out for the Lord Jesus. Trust him and be in prayer. Seek him and follow after his spirit. Let him lead you in his mission for the kingdom. Amen. Pastor Bush.
Good word. My goodness. How many wants to be a part of something good? You know, there's so many people that want to be a part of something evil. That's why you see more people in honky-tonks than you do in church. They want to be a part of something exciting, thinking it's going to be fulfilling. Well, you know, I'm so thankful today that I am fulfilled by coming to my church at Glad Tidings.
Yeah.
I'm fulfilled. I've kept one of the Lord's commandments, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I got fed. I got a touch from God. I got what I came for. And you know, I'm just going to be honest. If you're not getting what you come for, you ought to find you another church. And I don't mean that mean or nothing. I'm just saying that come to church hungry for God and you'll see a difference. You'll see a difference in your life. And so I thank the Lord for that message. Pastor Nicky, would you play something in closing today? Thank you, Lord. Let's give God a hand clap for his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to close today by just asking you a question. What are you seeking after? What are you looking for? What are you expecting to find? Are you seeking for more money? Are you doing everything you can to look younger? What are you seeking? Do you want power? Do you want control? Or do you think that perhaps God's not doing you right? I don't know, but what I'm saying is, the Word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything you need will be added to you. Companionship, you won't have to worry about being lonely. You won't have to worry about having food. You won't have to worry about having shelter. You won't have to worry about clothes. You won't have to worry about what's going to happen to you tomorrow, next day. If you seek the kingdom of God first, then everything else will fall in place. Reminds me of our ducks. One of the ducks will come running. And you look, and bless God, every one of them behind that one. Run just as hard as they can. See, when the one duck takes off, everything else falls in behind them. And if we'll run after Jesus, everything else will follow behind us.
Amen.
If you're lacking something, it's not God's fault. He's ready to give it to you if it's good for you. But just maybe we don't have some of the things that we want, because it may wind up doing more harm than good, if you get it. Wow, what a message. Jesus came to save us. So I'm going to close. I want you to think about this. What are you seeking? Are you running hard and not getting anywhere? A lot of people in life are doing that same thing. There's a dog up in West Virginia, they got in a fence. And that dog has wore a trail. Every car that comes by, he'll run after that car. And he's run so much that he's dug a ditch and he's just about up to his belly, running after nothing. It's good to ask ourselves, what are we chasing? What are we seeking? I know what a lot of men would say, because I am a man. I can't figure women out because I've never been one. But a lot of men searching for a woman to keep him company, satisfied, pity when he gets moody. Oh, now, honey, it'll be all right. Now, I don't know what women are seeking. I figure they just want somebody to love them, be good to them. I don't know. But I do know if we seek God, that He can fulfill your life and mine. With every head bowed, I want to pray. Not every person in this sanctuary, including myself, is running after something. And I pray that if we're all not running after Jesus, then today, this message, this worship service, will change our hearts. And we'll start running after the right thing. We'll start seeking the kingdom of God. And then we'll see great results in our life. And I pray for someone today that's not saved, that they will call upon Jesus, repent of their sin, and turn their life over to Christ right now as I pray. And Father, thank you for this wonderful service. God, give these nursing home people strength when they go back. Give us strength when we go back to our home to live a godly life. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Brother Chris. Brother Chris, Brother Dean, Brother Larry. We're going to have seats out there for you next Sunday if the weather's bad. We're going to have our sound system and we're going to praise God, okay? So until, remember Wednesday night, Bible study with Brother Chris. And remember, Sister Donise is not here today. I truly miss her. And there's several others. Who?
Roger's wife
is not with us. We have Sister Shirley that's been sick for 2 weeks. She wants to come to church so bad. And we have
Delta
Martin. We have Greg. So we have folks that are missing today. Let's keep them in prayer. All right, everybody. Father, we dismiss with love in our heart for you. Protect us in Jesus' name. Amen.